Are you a planner or a procrastinator? Do you consider what could happen or plan for the worst? Do you think about, you know, the future of you and your business, or do you solely focus on what is happening and hope for the best? Well, in the world of business, you have to be both. As a young boss, you have to Hannah Montana between planning and procrastinating, and it's all part of being and staying relevant.
You're smart, you're motivated, you want to do something big. You're on the verge of being a young boss, and we're going to help you get there. I'm your host, Isabel Guarino, and welcome to the Young Boss Podcast, where youth is your power.
Planning ahead while continuing to build in the present is all part of business. However, no matter how many outcomes, you know, present or future, you can anticipate and plan for, there's always a possibility that you haven't given the concept of selling your business any thought. Anyone? I hear crickets. Silence is okay. This week's topic can be sensitive and, well, complicated. Yep, we're diving into how to prepare for a business buyout. The thought of selling your business may be absolutely terrifying, and rightfully so. No one wants to think about handing over the product of their blood, sweat, tears, and energy. However, as everyone knows, life throws you curveballs sometimes, and sometimes shit hits the fan, and there's nothing you can really do about it. Change, though, it's inevitable. It's not always predictable, but we know it's going to happen. Part of keeping your business professional, prepared, and successful in the long run is being ready for any scenario, even the scenario of selling your business. Now, often companies, they don't sell until it's too late and they aren't ready for it. Unfortunately, it's common for people to wait until they're going to go bankrupt or something bad happens, such as health issues, having a baby, or a death, and you do not want to get to the place where you need to sell. That's a really bad situation. It will be tough if you find yourself in the need to sell scenario. Your buyers will exploit you and your business. And then they're going to gouge you out and take you to the cleaners. Yikes. You're not going to get paid what you're worth, and it'll suck, and you'll run the risk of feeling like a failure. So to avoid this, I'm telling you now, preparation is key. Make your plans now. Think of your strategies now. Plan for the potential sale of your business now. Remember, even though it's not a priority of yours right now, it may be someday. That being said, I definitely suggest that you check out John Werlow's book, Built to Sell. It's a great place to start as you prepare yourself and build systems that will inevitably allow you to seamlessly offload and sell your business. Anyways, it's good to think about how each step you take with your business will affect its marketability and attraction to buyers. It's never a bad idea to make improvements or changes to your business that make it more attractive to potential buyers. And even if you're not ready to sell, adding value to your business will continue to benefit you as you remain the owner. In business, you must play chess, not checkers. Think of your business like your first house. Over the years, you'll probably renovate it, add some value, and increase the livability of your home. And by the time it comes time to sell, the house will be much more attractive to potential buyers because of all the work you put into it. Remember, you get out what you put in. So what are some tangible things you can do to prepare? Start with building solid systems within your business. Yep, that likely means SOPs, standard operating procedures. These bad boys make sure that everyone is on the same page, and if you plop someone out and put someone in, the exact same thing would happen. Consider these detailed roadmaps. So when a new employee or a new owner walks in on day one, they can jump right in and not miss a beat. Having these systems in place not only helps with day-to-day operations, but it also makes your business a lot more attractive to buyers. They love it when everything's organized and ticking like clockwork. In our businesses, we love to use systems like Loom and Trainual to make sure we have all of our SOPs and policies lined up. So when someone leaves and someone new comes in, they just follow the system, make sure everything stays in alignment. It not only saves on your training time, but also it makes sure that everything is done in the system way that you want it to be done. And as things change over time, because they do, SOPs need to be, you know, an ever-living system. system. They cannot be set it and forget it. You have to set it and then review it and make sure that's still how it's being done. Because over the course of time, new developments will come. Things will become automated, or you'll find a better, easier way to do things. Or maybe your team just says, we don't even do that at all anymore. So you have to check back in on them at least quarterly to make sure this is still how we're doing stuff. I literally tell my team, and I know this is morbid, I always tell them, if you died tomorrow, I need to know exactly what to do. I need every password, every login. What website are you going to? What do you click when you get there? What is happening? Tell me every single thing so that I am not screwed if you get hit by a car. And again, I'm sorry it's morbid, but it's true. Your team and your company needs to literally have that level of understanding on your systems. Now, in order to properly prepare yourself for a sale or a buyout, it's important that you know a bit about why businesses acquire other businesses and what might be in it for your buyer when it does come down to the time to sell. They may want to step their game up in three major areas, usually technology, talent, or distribution. In some rare cases, they're on the prowl to give a competitor a one-way ticket out of the game, and that, my friend, can get messy, messy, messy. You've heard of Monopoly. Yeah, in real life, it's not as fun or as legal, but some people try to do that. So what's the deal? Why would a company want your business? Well, there's a good chance you've got what they lack. Like Bismarckie, you've got what they need. You're practically a gold mine in their eyes, right? Maybe you have tech whizzes who created something mind-blowing, teams of rockstar employees that were snatched up in a heartbeat, or distribution networks that make the big wigs go green with envy. There are reasons why a company may want you. And that's why it's important to make your business marketable and easy to sell. Preparing for the end in the beginning will set you up for success, not only during your ownership, but especially when it's time to sell. This all leads back to preparation and planning. Don't plan to fail, prepare for possibilities. This conversation may feel premature to some of you. You know, you're in no position, nor are you ready to sell your business. And I understand that, of course. But as we talked about earlier, sometimes life happens and selling may be the only option. But it doesn't have to be a bad thing. More on that later. Selling your business is not a failure. I do just want to say that, and I want you to hear me say that, right? Sometimes we have to switch the perspective, right? This isn't necessarily a bad thing. Maybe you're going to get a huge buyout, right? Or maybe you're going to get a non-compete that says, hey, you can't do this same thing for the next 2 years. Okay, well, in those 2 years, you can be working on it behind the scenes and get ready to launch at 2 years and 1 month, right? And redo it and recreate the wheel. I've met a lot of people who do that. They'll build an app for a specific thing, sell it out, and then wait till their non-compete's up and do another one. And they just keep doing this. Buying and selling businesses is a whole game. And it can actually be really fun when you start to get involved from that perspective. What do you have that the market needs? What secret sauce do you know how to replicate, how to duplicate? What do you have that others may want? Like we said, it's a bad thing when you need to be bought, when you're like, get me out of this, I have to leave. That's negative. You don't want that. But when you're building to sell, when you're built to sell, just like the book we talked about earlier, you can really set yourself up for a really nice payout. And it doesn't mean your business, your life, your, you know, career is over. You can always redo it. Listen, selling your business or being acquired is twofold. Yes, businesses do get bought and sold because of crisis, misfortune, and the other examples that are always shared in the media because, well, this is what our culture enjoys witnessing. Other people failing. Yeah. We've talked about how it can be negative, but let's talk about the benefits of being acquired or taking your business to market for a sale. That's more exciting, and honestly, a lot more entrepreneurs strictly build businesses to sell, just like I talked about. One of our favorite examples is the mouse and the lamp duo. We all know and love it. You guessed it, Disney and Pixar. Disney waved their wands and poof, suddenly they had Pixar in their bag in 2006 for a jaw-dropping $7.4 billion with a B, baby. But you know what? That investment paid off a big time. After the merger, we got hits like WALL-E, like Toy Story 3. And I mean, who doesn't love those movies, right? They raked in billions like it was no big deal. It's like Disney and Pixar became the ultimate dream team, churning out blockbusters left and right. But when you thought Disney couldn't work any more magic, they pulled another rabbit out of the hat. 3 years later, they snapped up Marvel Entertainment. And guess what? It was the same story all over again. Those Marvel films were like money magnets, drawing in the big bucks at the box office. And each movie, it's like a golden goose laying those billion-dollar eggs. There's a good chance that Pixar and Marvel wouldn't have become who they were without the mergers. It's like meeting that big brother or big sister that you didn't know you needed. You didn't know what you were missing, the guidance, the advice, the love, and the care. Some businesses, they need a big sibling to help them grow, to acquire them, and encourage them along the path forward. Being acquired can prove to be a massive benefit to any company in the right scenario. Hey, it's Isabel. Thanks for listening to the Young Boss Podcast. I recently wrote a book called Young Boss, and it's filled with top tips I've learned over the years on how to survive and thrive in business. Pre-order your copy now by heading to the link in the podcast description. Now, back to the show. All right, so let's get into the nitty-gritty of selling a business. There's a variety of business buyouts, so what happens to you and your business really will depend on the terms and conditions. Yeah, the fine print. You're going to have to read it this time. Maybe your buyout takes the form of a partnership. A partnership is a collaboration with you and another business or investor or partner where they're going to come in and buy a portion of your business. And bam, you're in it together. They can bring additional cash, more ideas, a fresh perspective, a different list, all these things to make your business grow even bigger and better. Two heads are better than one in this scenario. This is what happened with Red Bull and GoPro in 2016. The two brands came together to boost the energized and adventurous sides of their clientele, each building off of the potential of their partnering brand. Clever, right? My friend's dad's business recently did this, and my friend was telling me all about it because I was so interested because I love talking about business stuff. And he was saying how their business was going to be bought. And I was like, tell me more. I want to hear all about this. But then as we started talking more, it's not that they were going to be bought. It's that he was having a partner come in to buy a percentage of the business. The person bought 49% of the business. But what they were bringing to the table was money, right? Because they saw this business and said, we want to help it grow, but we do not want to remove you from the CEO seat. We do not want to remove your marketing efforts and your strategies and everything you have set up, these systems and clientele and your lists. All we want to do is put more money into it so you can 10x the profits. And in turn, they can be a part of it and start making money too, right? If they don't own anything, they're not making anything. So them owning 49%, putting all the money in, my, you know, friend's dad, he got to just keep doing what he's doing, but now with a 10x budget. That was pretty cool. I mean, we're talking in the millions with this specific company, but that could be a partnership that you're looking for. Maybe you've taken it as far as you can. Your business loans are maxed out and you've put all the money in that you can. So you need someone to come in who's going to be the money partner. That's often what we find when it is that partnership type where they really want you to stay. They love you. They want to keep working with you. They just want to bring the business up and they want to get their chunk of the change too. Another type of business sale is one you might be familiar with. Think of McDonald's or Taco Bell, nationwide chains, for instance. Yep, a franchise. It's like planting your business flag in new territory, spreading your wings, and letting your brand soar. You give someone the green light to use your name and sell your stuff by licensing your resources to them. By franchising with smart investors and owners, your business can experience some significant growth. This is how many step and repeat businesses increase their exposure to new markets with less financial risk and upfront capital. People are bringing their money to the business and saying, hey, we want to be a part of this. Let us pay for access to your resource. Let me give you an example. Ever heard of the Good Feet stores? They're all over the US, right? Well, it started with Joe Paul, the mastermind behind Good Feet Worldwide. He got his hands on the Alsner Orthotic, a medical arch support device. And when the business took off, it was like a franchise frenzy. People wanted a piece of the pie and the company had the wherewithal to begin franchising their concept. Eventually, stores started sprouting up left and right while using the branding and resources that Joe Paul had set up for his very first store. Now there's a whopping 239 franchises, all born from the Good Feet Worldwide mothership. Growth like that is possible without franchising, but franchising definitely can help accelerate it. Franchising is a great way to grow your business while minimizing some risk, but certainly not all, of course. With this model, you do risk the integrity and reputation of your brand. So if you feel like you want a franchise, bring in some people who've done it before, and they can help you maintain the very reasons why your business is attractive. Now, sometimes the deal is an outright purchase, right? The acquisition company may come in guns a-blazing, ready to revamp everything you've built, and well, that's the deal. If they're purchasing your entire company, they likely see potential for growth, but they're not as keen on keeping you in the driver's seat. They want to overhaul, update, and edit pretty much everything you've established. So on that note, here's a $1 million question. Are you ready to let go? I mean, really let go. Can you handle it when they start messing with your branding? When they change your product offerings? When they pivot on your company culture? The truth is, parting ways with your business, with your baby, will be so difficult. It's part of the process. For example, Kylie Jenner is currently trying to buy back Kylie Cosmetics because she doesn't like what they did with all of her branding and all the changes, right? It's got her name on it, her face on it, and she's like, ah. Same goes for the owner of Suja Juice. When you sell entirely, you run the risk, and it might be hard to watch from the stands. If your business is your baby and changing things gives you heartburn or worse, a heart attack, well then you've got to figure out where you stand, my friend, because you can't straddle the line. You got to pick a side. You quite literally cannot have the best of both worlds. Sorry, Hannah. All right, young bosses, let's talk about the heart and soul of your business, your team, and your company culture. Buyouts, entire sales, franchising will undoubtedly affect your employees. And it's important to deep dive into how it will impact everyone involved. It's like a big wave hitting a small boat, and you got to make sure everyone stays afloat. So how do you ensure a smooth transition for your employees? We're going back to systems and SOP preparation. Having a roadmap that clearly guides everyone through the changes is going to be the key. You want to keep those core values alive and kicking, and you want to make sure that your team members will be treated fairly. There are things you'll have to do to properly inform your new partners or new owners about who's who and who's good at what and where. It's like making sure that your business family stays strong even when you're gone. Think about the list of instructions, insights, and directions you leave for a nanny when you leave your kids at home. Well, in a lot of cases, dogs, right? You leave no stone unturned. You are descript, you're clear, and you want to make sure they have everything that they need. It's a successful time. Not everyone is going to be on board for the long haul, especially when they suddenly find themselves working for a whole new boss that they never signed up to work for. Again, that is bound to happen. It's like when a new president or a new, you know, political party takes office, you want to talk about clearing house, talk to somebody who's been on the wrong side of an election in a federal government department. You can kiss that sweet job goodbye. The culture can and will shift. And it's important to ask yourself what that means for your loyal team. How will your relationship with them change? And what are you going to do to maintain your relationship with them if you want to? But here's the real talk. Selling your business when you have no other choice versus selling it because you want to is like night and day. When you're backed into a corner or you've got the upper hand, you can negotiate like a boss over here. You can demand those necessary numbers and make sure your terms are met. It's like having all the aces up your sleeve. You're ready and willing to play your best hand. I know with a lot of the company buyouts that I have seen, it's a huge difference when someone is downtrodden and they need to get rid of their business. And it's just about, how do I get out of this? They're not actually thinking about, how can I make the most of this? They're maybe not as attached to it. There's a real, you know, disconnect in that. And they just want to get it off of their plates. And unfortunately, that's kind of sad because their team a lot of times is like, well, I signed up to work with you and for you. And this new person who's buying it, that's not what I signed up for. That's not even what I want. And then on the opposite side, I know companies and people, you know, friends of mine who've sold their businesses and it's been a positive thing and they've made more money than they've ever dreamed of. And they're so excited about it and it's absolutely incredible. And it's just a completely different experience depending on which one you're going through. But now you need to think about how you're going to stay involved post sale. Right? It's like wanting to be the captain of your ship, but you're no longer on the ship. You have to do your best to make sure the integrity of the business you created is maintained. But the honest truth is, you just sold the business, so you're gonna have to let go. It's super important that if you want to stay in relationship and friendship with your team during a sale, that you are really, really honest with them. They're going to be a little heartbroken. Their day-to-day is gone and their boss that they loved is maybe gone or stepping away, or they're going to be working with you in a different way. Who's going to be in charge of them? It's important you answer all of their questions, stay really, really honest, and make, you know, your intentions known. Why are you doing this? And why is this the best situation for you and the team? If it's just about money, money, they're going to feel that from you and they're going to feel really neglected and unheard, and it's not going to go down well. So you need to determine, what are you looking to maintain with them? If it is a friendship and a relationship, then be honest. Have those hard conversations with them. It will help you in the long run so, so, so much. Phew, we covered some serious ground today, didn't we? From recognizing the right time to sell to understanding the ins and outs of business buyouts, we dug into a topic that we didn't think we'd need to get to right now. However, if we've learned anything today, it's that it's always best to be prepared for every scenario when it comes to the future of your business. The good, the bad, the ugly, and the unexpected. Being a young boss means being prepared for anything at any time. It's like having your business armor on, ready to face whatever comes your way. So whether you're a planner or a procrastinator, you need to find a way to be prepared for what's happening right now and what might happen 5, 10, 15 years from now. Like many things in business, selling your business is all about perspective. It's about understanding that change can be the catalyst for something amazing. And when you think about selling your business, think of it as closing a book, or realizing that the next book in the series is waiting for you. Don't think that the story is over and there's nothing left to read. After all, in the game of business, it's not just about the destination, it's about the journey and the lessons we learn along the way. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Young Boss Podcast with me, Isabel Guarino. Be sure to like, share, and follow on Instagram and TikTok and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And let me know, are you built to sell? Remember, your youth is your power.